In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
But when will the Catholic Church get with the times, some people say?
Cale Clark.
Well, the Catholic Church isn't concerned about getting with the times, as Peter Kreeft has said so well. The Church doesn't read the times. She reads the eternities. She's concerned about the end times and your eternal soul. She is only concerned with saving your soul and mine. She has no authority to change the teachings of her Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Now, other Christian communities think they have the authority to change those teachings of Jesus. And the irony is that people are always complaining. The Catholic Church is constantly trying to impose its authority over my life. The Catholic Church actually claims to have far less authority than these other groups do. The Catholic Church is the faithful spouse who will never commit spiritual contraception or divorce by imbibing the potions of our age, changing our Lord's teachings to suit the ways of the world.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
Now it's a flight from reality itself.
Patrick Madrid.
We've turned in the direction of a denial of reality. Look at some of the, for example, gender ideology. Talk about the opposite of evidence and science-based. It's all about feelings and one's perception of oneself. I use that as just one example. Let me share a Bible passage with you. This is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen to this. Verse 9. The coming of the lawless one by the activity of Satan will be with all power and with pretended signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are to perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. Therefore, God sends upon them a strong delusion to make them believe what is false, so that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. A strong delusion. I mean, one way to interpret that is that God withdraws from certain people. I wonder if that may be a description of what's going on right now.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
You can't be a half saint, be a whole saint, or nothing at all. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew this afternoon. Let's talk about issues of life. Of course, the Supreme Court last month overturned Roe versus Wade. And as we've been talking about here on Relevant Radio for a very, very long time, well, first of all, the power of your prayer with almost a half a billion with a B memoraries prayed to end abortion, the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade. But now it comes right back to the states. And depending on what state you're in, it could either be in a haven for abortion or one that would prohibit abortion. Let's go to the state of Indiana right now. Lawmakers reconvened on Monday. This was to consider more restrictions on abortions. And Indiana is the first state to hold a special session, the goal to potentially curtail abortion rights since Roe versus Wade got overturned a month ago. A special Indiana General Assembly committee met for more than 4 hours on Monday to discuss Senate Bill 1. Let's go inside that. Here's a report from CBS 4 WTTV in Indianapolis.
The bill allows exceptions for rape, incest, and substantial permanent risk to the mother's health.
Motion passes 7-5.
Under an amendment approved Tuesday, doctors could be charged with a level 5 felony for any illegal abortion. And lawmakers have set deadlines for rape or incest survivors to obtain an abortion. For a pregnant person under age 16, they would have until 12 weeks post-fertilization. For Hoosiers age 16 and older, that time limit drops to 8 weeks.
That gives you some background on Senate Bill 1. Republicans control the state legislature in Indiana. Let's talk about this more with Peter Breen, the vice president and senior counsel for the Thomas More Society. He focuses his law practice on protecting First Amendment rights. We're going to get to that in just a couple of moments, and also to free speech. Much more online at thomasmoresociety.org. Peter, how are you?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me on.
And speaking of free speech, this will make your blood boil. This is just a little disclaimer at first, but it goes to show the mentality of death in this country. With the setup there about Senate Bill 1 and where the Indiana General Assembly is right now, this is a doctor. This is a practicing doctor in Indiana. Listen to what she's going to say.
What I would say is if you don't believe that you would have an abortion, then don't have one. You cannot stop other people from accessing medical care that they need based on your personal religious beliefs.
I don't think she understands the First Amendment, Peter.
Well, look, for most of this nation's history, abortion has been outlawed in nearly every state, and without exceptions. The earliest feminists in this country were very much pro-life. And so what Indiana is looking at right now, and what the people of the state of Indiana have been promised by their legislators, is to end abortion in that state. I will say this SB1, this was what was put in place in the Senate, is not a bill that this pro-life community supports at the moment because there are glaring and numerous errors and exceptions in it that don't comport with the pro-life view.
Now, as we understand it, this bill that was authored by the GOP would bar abortion clinics from performing surgical abortions and require an in-person dispensation for an abortion-inducing drug used in a medical abortion. What would you like to see in Senate Bill 1 in Indiana?
Well, here's the problem. So when they drafted this bill, the Senate leadership did a press conference saying they had consulted and gotten the language from ACOG, that's the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, but that is a pro-abortion group.
Right.
And ACOG had their representative testifying at the committee. I testified as well. Their representative is an actual abortionist in Indianapolis. And so that was the perspective for the drafting of the language that the GOP put in. So there are numerous errors in there. One of the glaring ones being they, for abortions of severely disabled children, they said those aren't actually abortions. And so actually read that entire definition out so that these children are essentially dehumanized. And so, you know, no one's talking about that. And it was one of those things where you're sitting there going, well, if you take the language from the abortion industry, of course that's going to be in the bill.
Sure.
And so, yeah, our offer from Thomas More Society was, hey, let us help get this thing redrafted to do what the legislators want it to do. Because as it's drafted now, it would actually expand taxpayer-funded abortion, including of these babies who are severely disabled, undermine conscience rights for Catholic and Christian doctors and healthcare facilities. And so they're glaring errors. Right now, SB1 has been condemned in its current form by every pro-life group in the country that has weighed in. And so that work continues, but it highlights the issue that post-Dobbs, you've got states with Republican majorities or pro-life majorities. They've got to be careful about the way they draft these bills, and you've got to bring the pro-life movement in and let the pro-life movement, have some, say in it to help make sure that you avoid pitfalls. For those of us in the abortion, who've been doing abortion litigation for decades, mm-hmm. we know the pitfalls well. And your average legislative staffer is not going to know, they have to cover every area of law. So, that's what's happening in Indiana. And that's why there is such consternation among the pro-life members in that legislature, because the language is just a mess.
Peter, abortion is running white hot, not only as a cultural issue right now, but as an issue in the midterm elections today. And I'm here in the New York area. And so you see television from New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. And I saw a spot for a state treasurer, where about 15 seconds of it was the candidate's position on pro-abortion. And I'm thinking, this is a state treasurer. And it was just like, I'm the best person at managing money here. That's why you should elect me, by the way. And then just spends 15 seconds on abortion. It shows you how white hot it is. Could it possibly be that the language, even with a GOP authored bill in Indiana, kind of it's your cake and wanting to eat it too, where you don't want to anger voters? It's a hot button issue. You've got elections coming up. So you're kind of playing both sides of the street.
Well, this is going to be an issue that we in the pro-life movement will have to deal with, is legislators that have made promises to us for decades, and then folks in the pro-life movement has faithfully worked to get them elected, and now once they actually have a chance to make good on those promises, will they do so or not? And I would say this, on the abortion side, when those folks make a promise to their, usually a Democratic base,
right,
even if the legislation is not, not in accord with the majority wishes of the people, they follow through with their promises. That just happened in Illinois, where the legislature repealed parental notice. Polling right around the time of the vote said 75% of Illinoisans support parental notice. But you know what? Those Illinois Democrats had promised their hardcore base, we're going to repeal parental notice. And they went ahead and did it. Didn't matter about the polls. It was more to keep their word to their constituents. And so, that's a thing that those of us on our side, we're going to have to say, hey, look, it's more important that you keep your word. I mean, we are in the right on the position, but, this is something where you're going to have to hold your legislators' feet to the fire after all the hard work that's been done by people of faith and people of life to get friendly legislators into office.
How intimately involved are you with the Thomas More Society, working with those in power in Indiana to get the right language into Senate Bill 1? And what kind of response are you getting from them?
Well, we have started a new legislative help state legislators craft the bills the way they want them. Bills actually do what you say you want to do, and then help to maximize the protection for the unborn residents of your state. Mm-hmm. So we have current and former state legislators. So I'm a former state legislator myself, former legislative staff we have on our team who are there for that very particular purpose. And so we are working with folks in a variety of states. And in most states, right now you're focused to January. So you wait till after the election. Most legislatures are not in session, and so most of this is later.
Right.
Indiana is this unique case of having the special session right now because they decided not to do legislation pre-Dobbs. And it's getting to be a difficult situation. News was just broken that a longtime member of the Senate Republican caucus just quit that caucus over the problems with this bill. And so I think my hope is that we can salvage the legislation, fix the language, make it properly pro-life. And really help those legislators meet the promises they've made to their constituents and have consistently made to their constituents for the last few decades. So that's our hope, is that we can fix it. Otherwise, here you go. You're going to have more stories of problems here. And again, we hope not to repeat this in other states because it's just, look, you if you're running a bill on a particular subject matter, you call in the experts on that subject matter as you're drafting. So that mm-hmm. needs to happen, and we're hoping that will happen in other states.
And it shows you the work that we have to do in our own hometowns and our own state capitals as well with legislators to make sure that they understand truly where we stand as Catholics and what sound Catholic teaching is about issues of life. And that's one of the problems here with Senate Bill 1 that was introduced by Senate Republicans in Indiana that would further restrict abortion in the state. It sounds good, but as Peter Bream, Vice President and Senior Counsel for the Thomas More Society, is explaining to us here on the Drew Mariani Show, there are a lot of things in there that are decidedly not pro-life. In fact, Senate Bill 1 has been condemned by every pro-life organization in the United States. Peter, help us with the way we can communicate with the leaders in our own communities, in our own states, to help them understand where we are as Roman Catholics. So what happened in Indiana doesn't repeat itself in our own state.
Well, this is a reason to continue to build relationships with your local elected officials. And I'll tell you this, even if you live in a state that is, you know, maybe more pro-abortion at the state level, there are still plenty of things that can be done at the local level, your school board level, your city council level. There is a movement to declare abortion sanctuary cities. There are also movements, and we know from the school board issues, where you've got certain mandates sometimes coming down from the states that are very pro-abortion, but a local school board has the power to make sure that those schools don't get caught in that abortion trap. So you want to continue to build those relationships. I'll tell you, in Indiana, the legislators are hearing from good, faithful people like, you know, the listeners of this program. Hey, you know, we don't want it. You know, we're tired of this. Stop messing around. Let's do a real pro-life bill. And so, you know, that is, you know, that keeping up the pressure on legislators to do what they promised to do. Is very much, you know, that's very much what we should be doing as people of faith. And yeah, I know those legislators are hearing a lot from the folks that have been, you know, faithfully supporting them for decades. And so that is very helpful in hopefully getting us to a place where Indiana can become abortion free.
I'm glad you mentioned school boards, because that's truly how local these issues of life really are. We have been saying this for many months, years here on Relevant Radio, that when Roe versus Wade finally gets overturned, this is going to be an issue that lands right smack in our kitchens, at our tables, in our backyards, with family and friends, as these issues become intensely local. And as we were talking about yesterday here on the show, Peter, with issues of gender identity and how that's showing up in the curricula of elementary public schools all across the country, here is our real opportunity to guide the conversation, guide the curriculum in the right direction. Yes, even in the public school system, in our communities, by being vocal as Catholics.
Absolutely, and I mean we have this opportunity here because the other side is overextended. And when you actually talk about what is going on in these schools, or that these mandates coming down from the state level, we have the better of this argument. So very much something that we should be talking about and elected officials about.
Can you help us with some of the language in how we start that conversation with clarity and charity? Because it's so emotionally charged, it's almost impossible not to lead with your emotions.
Well, I have to tell you, emotion is, you know, emotion and stories are how people make decisions for the most part. You know, you'd love to think that everyone is like St. Thomas Aquinas, sitting and logic, you know, do it using logic and reason and what have you. But really, for the most part, it's stories and emotion that do help to change people's minds and hearts. You know, charity, though, is the way through. That is the way you get in, and that's the way you're able to get folks to maybe listen to you. I would say this, you want to get involved with those elected officials as early as possible. If you have friendly folks, if someone volunteered, so if someone was a volunteer from one of my political campaigns, you are eternally grateful to those folks for, you know, giving up their Saturday afternoons and going and knocking on doors for you or making signs or doing what have you. So the earlier, the better. And if you build those relationships before you need the person or before you want to lobby them on a particular point, your advocacy will be 10 times more effective. Mm-hmm.
Common Sense from Peter Breen. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. Peter is Vice President and Senior Counsel of the Thomas More Society, as we take you inside Senate Bill 1 in the state of Indiana. On its surface, it looks like it is decidedly pro-life, but it's anything but. And so it's a little red flag just in case something like this pops up in your state. And of course, what we can do as Catholics to share the true teaching of the Catholic Church with those in charge. Peter Breen, Vice President, Senior Counsel for the Thomas More Society. They are online at thomasmoresociety.org. Peter, thanks so much for your wisdom.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
On the Drew Mariani Show, John Harper filling in the magnificent work that courage does. Of course, you and I are all, every Catholic is called to live a chaste life. And what courage does is help men and women who are experiencing same-sex attractions, who have really made that commitment to chastity. It's an organization that's growing. Perhaps it's in your parish, your diocese. We'll take you inside courage with the executive director coming up next here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Did you like what Drew and the guest had to say? Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the Relevant Radio Archives. Just search for the Drew Mariani Show.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon. He'll be back here tomorrow. Drew has been on a 4-day retreat, and I'm sure he'll have some magnificent stories and some real faith-filled stories to share with you when he's back tomorrow here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. But right now, chances are in your family, there is someone who has same-sex attraction. And you probably know stories of those who have same-sex attraction who have walked away from their faith or maybe turned away from their faith or just don't understand where the Catholic Church stands in loving all people. And Courage is an organization. Courage International is an organization that helps people with same-sex attraction. It gives them not only personal support, but a great deal of spiritual guidance, firming up that spiritual foundation of their lives, and also a great deal of prayer, injecting prayer in their lives, community prayer support, certainly, and a great deal of fellowship. And it helps those with same-sex attraction, and it's also growing its apostolate, not only across the United States, but all through North America. In fact, starting today, Courage and Encourage, we'll explain that as well, begin their annual conference at the University of St. Mary of the Lake in Mundelein, Illinois, and that will go all the way through the weekend. It's both in person and online. Father Philip Bochansky is the executive director of Courage and Encourage, again, supporting those dealing with same-sex attraction and their families, online at courage.rc.org. The website is courage.rc.org. Father Philip, it's good to have you back on Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
For those who have experience with a family member or a friend who is in, you know, perhaps a same-sex relationship or has same-sex attraction and doesn't quite understand their faith or where the Catholic Church is, and of course the Catholic Church calls all of us to live a chaste life, what should we say to them? How do we start bringing them back and planting the seeds of the Holy Spirit about your organization, Courage International?
Well, I think the first thing to do, as Pope Francis has said, is to accompany people starting from their situation. And so the first thing that we should say in a conversation like that is, if you are ready, I think I'd like to hear your story. I want to hear what's going on in your life, what you're looking for, whether you're finding it, just what's brought us to this conversation today. And I think if we can begin by taking someone's story seriously and giving them an opportunity to reflect on what's been happening in their lives, then we can use that as a context to share the rest of the story, God's plan for us in our creation as being in His image and likeness. So that means we're made for relationship, as being male or female. He has a plan for our bodies, for our relationships, for our families, for love and sexuality, and so we can start to explain that plan of God, invite people to hear it and to embrace it, precisely because we've started with a willingness to hear who they are and where they're coming from, to situate their story in the bigger story.
So a part of it obviously lies with us to not only accompany them, but also to hear their story, because I have a friend of mine right now whose son has announced to them, and he's 20 years old, that he has same-sex attraction. And that led to a very contentious blow-up in the house. Faith-filled Catholic family went through Catholic school, but that resulted in being cut off from the rest of the family. You've seen that so many times before. How do you start repairing that?
I certainly have, and I think, you know, when we encounter parents in your friend's situation, oftentimes they've kind of got what my predecessor and friend Father Paul Cech once called the emergency room mentality. They can perceive that something is wrong, or they're worried about their son or their daughter, and so they want to fix it. And oftentimes, starting from that perspective is what makes that first conversation so contentious, because the son or daughter picks up a message of, well, you can't love me until I fix this, but this is who I am, and it's not going to change. And so, you know, when we encounter parents in that situation, you know, what we try and help them to do is, again, to try and understand where their son or daughter is coming from. And then to hand over to the Lord the things that they can't do anything about right now, and to ask for God's grace to see themselves and their loved one as He sees them. And in the meantime, to just keep communication open, to remember that their son or daughter is the very same person that they were half an hour before that conversation happened.
Right.
That now they know more about their inner life and you know, what they're feeling, what they might be struggling with, but that the key to helping them with all those things is to keep being mom or dad, keep loving them the way that they did. And again, wait for those opportunities to share the deeper message that comes to us from the Word of God. But to do that in a way and at a time when their loved one can hear it. You know, I think oftentimes parents need to be reassured that they're not betraying the faith by not trying to solve every problem and answer every question right away. They have to work towards that conversation step by step, and in the meantime, try to understand what their loved one's going through.
And also asking the Holy Spirit what to say, what not to say, when to say it as well. Father Philip Bochansky, our guest today, the Executive Director of Courage and Encourage, supporting those dealing with same-sex attraction and their families. The website is courage.rc.org, and we're here to help you as well. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Perhaps there's someone in your family who has discovered Courage International and is living a chaste life, even though they do have same-sex attraction, and living a full and rich life within the Catholic Church. 888-914-9149. Or perhaps you're confused over this subject with a family member. Father will give you some guidance here. 888-914-9149. We speak about parents, it's Courage, and I also mentioned Encourage, and Encourage as well is there for parents and spouses and siblings and friends who identify as LGBTQ.
Yes, it's actually the 35th anniversary, I think, of when Father John Harvey, our founding director, started making kind of official contacts among parents who were reaching out to him. Saying, you know, I've heard about Courage. My son or daughter is not ready for that. They're identifying as gay or lesbian. They're not practicing the faith. And what I need to know, Father, is how do I keep the faith and keep my family life intact? And so, you know, for all those years, our parents, and now it's expanded to include spouses and siblings and friends, have been meeting just to kind of share their experience and support one another. There's quite a few conversations at our Encourage groups that always get to the point of, you know what, I was where you are now, and I said all the wrong things, or I made all the mistakes, and this is what I've learned in the meantime. And so just like our Courage groups are a place where people who are living with this experience of same-sex attraction and you know, want to support each other to live chaste lives where they can pray together and just share their lives with one another, our Encourage groups provide a similar opportunity for parents and other loved ones to say what they're worried about or what they're afraid of without, you know, with knowing that everyone will be able to understand what they're going through, and also to receive some guidance from the priest chaplain of the group and from members who have been at it a bit longer in terms of, well, how do I navigate these family dynamics and conversations that need to be had, decisions that we might have to make as a family. It's just a place for them to really walk together along that often complicated and sometimes confusing path.
Father, how would one bring a Courage chapter to their parish or diocese?
Well, we typically organize our chapters by diocese rather than parish. Number one, it gives us a greater pool of potential members. It also provides some anonymity and confidentiality for the members if that's what they desire. And so we are a public association of the faithful. We operate always with at the invitation and with the approval of the diocesan bishop. So a part of the process is just letting their diocesan bishop know, either directly or through some of his collaborators like the Family Life Office or Evangelization Office of the Diocese, that there are people in the diocese that would benefit from a group, and that perhaps they've even identified a priest who seems to understand how to present the church's teaching in a clear and compassionate way. And so just to request that, and then either the bishop or his office or a priest that he has in mind to be a chaplain would contact our office, and he gave our website already, couragerc.org. And then we take it from there. We provide training for new chaplains. We help provide resources to get the word out and just kind of walk a new chaplain and his new chapter through that process. But I think the majority of bishops are open to the idea. We have chapters already in about between a half and two-thirds of the dioceses in the U.S. But a lot of them don't necessarily know that it's a priority locally, and you know, might be hesitant to appoint a priest to the ministry if they don't know if anyone would benefit. So if people can share their stories and let the bishop know this is something that is needed and that we would really appreciate, that often speeds the process along.
As we mentioned in our conversation with Father Philip Bachansky, the Executive Director of Courage and Encourage, the annual conference for both Courage and Encourage is going on right now at the Conference Center of the University of St. Mary of the Lake in Mundelein, Illinois. Perhaps those of you listening in Chicago or in the Midwest know someone or on your way there or just have arrived. But you can also attend via Zoom. It will cost you $50, but the plenary sessions will be on Zoom. And again, you would go to couragerc.org. What is the best way to start a dialogue? If you're a mom or a dad, what's the best way to start that dialogue with your kids? Once you have divorced the emotion of the moment of your son or daughter coming out to you, and you want to keep them in that lane of faith, and they've always been there, but they have same-sex attraction. You want to keep them on that path to heaven. What's the best way to have that conversation?
Well, again, it's going to start at the initiative of the loved one. I don't think it's ever a good idea if parents, you know, maybe suspect something, need to confront their loved one about that. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think to presume goodwill and to remember, as I said, you know, this is still the same person that they've always known. They just know a bit more important information about them. If the initial conversation hasn't gone well, then you know, there's plenty of responsibility to go around. So to say very honestly, listen, I'm sorry that we got off on the wrong foot. This is all new to me. I don't understand it from your perspective, but I'd like to. And so can we talk about this? And then I think, you know, the best, rather than kind of hand a son or daughter the catechism and say, you need to read this and study up. You know, I think the best way to share the good news is through personal experience. And so, if the loved one is away from the practice of the faith, a way to help with that is just to speak very honestly and cheerfully about what it means to to the parents, and also in terms of understanding sexual morality, which really is based on the church's judgment on same-sex intimacy, is based on the importance of complementarity, the bond between a man and a woman, and procreativity, openness to having children. And so if parents can find a way to speak just from their experience about what a difference that's made in their marriage and in their life together and their life as individuals. And it's, I think it's easy to do with a son or daughter to say, you know, the fact that your father and I, your mother and I, you know, have you, and we look at you and know that your life is the fruit of our marriage and an act of love for one another, just means so much to us. And we're worried that, that this won't be the same in the kind of relationship that you're in or that you may choose. And then that, try and have an honest conversation about that, and presume that their son or daughter is looking for happiness and intimacy and companionship and all those things, but help them to understand whether the kind of relationship that they might be seeking is really the place to find it.
And also to help them understand the intimacy with Christ to stay on that path to heaven. Father Philip Wachansky, the Executive Director of Courage and Encourage, online at couragerc.org. Our number to join the conversation, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. As we continue with Father Philip here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, flexible premium life insurance. You know, for less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
If you don't live what you believe, you'll end up believing what you live. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon. Drew's wrapping up a four-day retreat. He'll be back with you tomorrow here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Thanks be to God for the Ministry of Courage, online at couragerc.org, supporting those who deal with same-sex attraction, and also Encourage, helping their families as well. Father Philip Wachansky is the executive director of both Courage and Encourage. They are having their annual conference right now at the University of St. Mary of the Lake in Mundelein, Illinois. And you can attend online. It does cost $50 for the Zoom conferences. Check that out online at couragerc.org, couragerc.org. Father Philip, it was the quote that certainly rocked the world and heard around the world. This goes all the way back to 2013. You probably know what I'm talking about. In that news conference coming back from one of his papal journeys, Francis said, "If a person is gay and seeks God and has goodwill, who am I to judge?" There was a lot of controversy about that. The Pope was vilified for saying that. So we're still talking about it 9 years later.
Yes, and before I address that, just to mention with our conference, thank you so much for mentioning it and promoting it. With some of the things that we needed to do in advance to set people up for the online participation, we aren't able to still register people at this time.
Oh, okay. Because it starts today.
It starts just in a couple of hours. But all the keynote talks at the conference, which are about the goal that Courage and Encourage have in common of growing in a life of prayer and dedication, all those talks will be available on our website for free right after Labor Day. So if people haven't signed up yet, but they do want to see what we have to say, they can give us a little time to get those talks edited and posted, and then they'll all be available online. I think that quote from the Holy Father was certainly the beginning of a big conversation. And so we always try to bring as much good as possible, even out of situations that may be unexpected and even confusing. At the time, he was answering a question about priests who worked in the Roman Curia, that there is a rumor that that part of what led to Pope Benedict's resignation was trying to deal with priests who maybe had an agenda against him or against what the church teaches, because they themselves were experiencing same-sex attractions, maybe in homosexual relationships. And so the way that the Pope responded to that, I think, is very important. He says, first of all, we have to look at what the Catechism says. And, of course, the paragraphs of the Catechism that deal with homosexuality make it clear that the actions are always immoral because they exclude procreativity and complementarity, that the people who are involved are not to be excluded or marginalized for feeling those attractions or having that inclination, that they must always be received with respect, compassion, and sensitivity, and that experiencing those attractions is not a barrier to living a holy life, that all of us, in fact, as you've already mentioned, are called to chastity mm-hmm. according to our state in life. And so a person who is single, and especially a person who's a priest who's made a promise of celibacy, has that responsibility to live chastely and to unite their lives to the Lord and his cross, to seek his grace to do that. And so I think what the Pope was saying is, if a priest or any other person understands and embraces that teaching is living chastely, that neither the Pope nor anybody else would or ought to condemn that person simply for experiencing those attractions. And then he went on to say that the real problem is to identify oneself as an individual or as part of a group. He used the English word lobby to become an activist or to lobby the church to change its teaching about homosexuality, about actions and inclinations. That if there were a group, whether in the Roman Curia or in a parish or a diocese or anywhere else, that got together in order to challenge the church's teaching or stay silent about it, ignore it, to lead people astray from it, he said that's a much bigger problem for the life of the church than a person who is experiencing attractions and maybe temptations, mm-hmm. but is seeking the Lord and striving to live a chaste life. So as always, in the larger context, we see the Pope is not departing from what the church teaches. In fact, he referred his listeners back to the Catechism. And
I think we lost Father Philip. He was on his cell phone there as well. But again, the key there is context. The key there is context. And I'm glad we're able to give you that context. We're going to try to reconnect here with Father Philip in just a couple of seconds. He's the executive director of Courage and Encourage, and of course, supporting and dealing with same-sex attraction and their families. That's the Encourage, E-N-C-O-U-R-A-G-E, part of Courage and Encourage. All of that is up online at CourageRC.org. That's CourageRC.org. Of course, we're talking about the annual Courage and Encourage conference that begins this evening in Mundelein, Illinois, at the University of St. Mary of the Lake. All the registration is closed, including those who could have participated if you wanted to participate online. But as Father Philip said, the keynote addresses all of the key portions of the conference that's going on now through Sunday will be available for free at CourageRC.org, and that will be up after Labor Day, which is not too far away. We've reconnected with Father Philip here. Just one more question, Father Philip. How is Courage approaching the issues of gender theory and gender ideology?
Sure. So the experience of gender identity discordance is, I think, for the individual involved, much different from the experience of same-sex attraction. There's some overlap, of course, especially in the culture, but it's a different experience. So for right now, we're still trying to understand whether our Courage groups would be the best place to help people who themselves are experiencing that discordance in their own lives. But for parents, there seems to be a lot of commonality in that, those experiences of trying to understand the loved one and accept them while also helping them to embrace the truth. So a number of our local Encourage groups are also including kind of on an experimental basis, also including parents or siblings of people who are trans, identify as transgender. And we'll see. I think they need different kinds of help than we maybe can always give them in terms of understanding the medical side of this and other issues. But for now, we're welcoming them. And our conference will have a couple of talks for parents in that situation.
Are you seeing growth for both Courage and Encourage?
Oh, most definitely. We added 10 new chapters in the United States this year, and about 10 or 12 in other parts of the world. We're in 19 countries around the world, and the place that's seeing the biggest growth are chapters in Latin America. We have about almost 200 participants here in person, another 100 English speakers attending virtually, but the virtual attendance of our conference in Spanish from Latin America is almost 300 people. So
wow.
We're definitely growing quickly in that part of the world.
That's great. Well, we'll continue to pray to the Holy Spirit for his guidance, not only to all of those in Courage and Encourage, but if you're hearing this conversation and experiencing same-sex attraction, you know that there is a destination to keep you on that path to heaven, and it's through Courage International at CourageRC.org. That's CourageRC.org. Father Philip, thank you. God bless.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it very much.
And before the hour now on the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.